Our scripture text this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. It is the 10th chapter in which Jesus is instructing his disciples about going out and spreading the word and gifting them with the powers that he thinks they're going to need. The last part of that passage is our text for this morning. For after listing off all the things they are supposed to do, how they should not be afraid, and how the Spirit will move with them, he says this. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the things that I think we've lost touch with as Christian people is the idea that Jesus expresses a number of times in the gospel, but because we are so focused on kind of the sinful part of us, the unworthy part of us, and our theology kind of tends that way, we lose sight with this very, very important reality. One that I think changes our whole perception, not only of ourselves, but of the world around us. And what Jesus says this morning, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, is nothing short of Jesus saying, you and I are identified with God. That is, God looks at us and sees God's self in us. And whoever welcomes one as God welcomes will certainly understand the fullness of what the presence of God among us really means. It's easy to say that, as we did in the prayer, that we believe that God is everywhere, that God is always present with us. But to identify with us, to say that you, each one of you, Mary and Joan and Frank and Pete and all the rest of you, God identifies with you. Not because of how wonderful you are, not because of anything you do, not for any other reason except that God breathed you into existence, and therefore you will always, always, always be identified by God as himself. Now think about that. We have a thing in our culture, especially if you get into psychology, that people will say, you know, children really are reflections of where they came from. All of us are somehow reflections of where we came from, as with our parents, our families, our backgrounds, our experiences, etc. It's sometimes said too that a child, any child, embodies the two people who gave that child life. That child is an extension of the parents. I know in theology, when I was going to school, one of the things that was stressed very much when Jesus welcomed all the children, what Jesus was really doing is validating the fact that children really represent the fullness of the background behind them. So everything about this child is made present in this child. Psychologically speaking, we can talk about family systems. And when we go into psychology, family systems are those things that tell us an awful lot of who we are, how we became that way, why we act the way we do, why we choose to be the person we are, what we respond to in the world, what bothers us, what terrifies us, what gives us courage, what gives us strength, what opens us up to love or keeps us closed off. It's all in what we have genetically inherited, but also sociologically inherited from our families. You, each one of you, each one of us, I got to include myself, each one of us is an extension of God. And as an extension of God, think about this. Have you ever been frustrated with the possibility that God would ever kind of pay attention to you? I mean, let's face it, how many of us pray and pray for certain things to happen or pray for people we love who are in trouble or struggle with life and nothing happens? Wouldn't it be nice to know, to really know, that God is listening? When Jesus talks about being a community, of coming together as the body, he's talking about being that presence of God for each other. We are, each of us, the presence of God. With all of our gifts, with all of our hang-ups, with all of our troubles, with all the stuff that takes place, we are an extension of the presence of God. If that's true, and Jesus is saying that whoever welcomes any of these into this reality, how much do you feel, now think about this, how much have you felt very much the presence of God when you gather in this church? Let me say up front, this is an exceptional community. Exceptional. In so many levels. But are we really aware, are we consciously aware, that coming together and sharing a sign of peace, or embracing each other with the wish that may you be everything God wants you to be, that somehow that matters? Or is it just something that we do? It's just part of the ritual. So if we didn't do it, what difference would it make? Does it matter that we look each other in the face and we say from God to each other that you are loved and all that God wants for you, so do I? I know in some instances it makes a great deal of difference. I had a young person who was, I think I told you this story back when I was at St. Anne's. I had a person that was coming to church for a number of weeks, and I saw her in these 1,300 seats that are there. I saw this one girl sitting over on the side, actually she was over on that side. And she sat there week after week after week and never raised her head. And one Sunday as she was leaving, I was able to catch up with her. And I asked her, you know, if there was anything that we could do. Does she need some kind of assistance or support, or, you know, where she came from, what's going on in her life, etc. And she said, no, I come because I like being with the people. Well, the following week, one of the people who was one of my deacons back then happened to be sitting next to her. And when it came time for the sign of peace, which normally people just go around and shake hands, you know, because you have to. In those days, you don't get out of the pews. Like, this is outrageous. You know that. We walk around and it's like lunch. But that's not true in other churches. It's a ritualistic thing. The deacon turned to her and wished her that she would become all that God ever wanted her to become. And the girl broke down in tears. And they sat through the whole service. I saw them talking through the whole service. You see a lot of things up here you don't see down there. But at the end of the service, he came up with her and we talked about it. And this was a girl who was contemplating suicide and had come into the church 3 weeks before as perhaps a last ditch effort. And she found some comfort being together with people who were able to express themselves as little as they could. And when the deacon turned to her and said what he did, she just melted. And it completely changed her life. That's an extreme thing. But Do we know the effect we have on each other? When we do a simple thing like greet each other at the beginning of a service. You don't have to be high on God, but to have another human being look at you and say, I'm glad you're here. To have someone put their hand out to yours or their arm around you over a person who may not have been touched in a long time. We assume everybody's just as happy as we are. We never know. My point is, so much of what we do is ritualized. Like, you know, when we print these bulletins, you know, and we tell you what to say and how to say it. And I guess there's some comfort in everybody saying the same thing. From the liturgical point of view, I always thought, I'm doing all the talking, people should have something to say. So I try to make a dialogue out of everything. You know, baptisms, communion, everything should be a dialogue because that engages you. But does it really? I mean, I write some stuff here, and after I'm reading it on a Sunday morning, after sitting at my desk on Monday and Tuesday and thinking about it all week, I come in here and I look and go, really? They're really going to say that, you know? And it's shocking to me sometimes, but how would it be if we were able to gather together on Sunday or any time that we decide and sit down together and talk about what matters to us, not about politics and stuff, about what matters to us in the way of our spiritual life, of what we believe, of what our concerns are, of how it impacts everyday life, about the stuff that's going on with our kids and our families, not to be therapeutic. That's not the point. The point is to be able to have a voice together at the table and find that when you leave the table, you've been nurtured. Because you've been heard, you've expressed, and somehow, in those two things, God happens. I think God's missing in a lot of the stuff we do in these buildings because there's a you and there's a us. And somewhere God is floating around someplace. God's right there. God's right there in your thinking. Even if you don't believe in God, you got to know that there's something moving you in life that calls you to express yourself, to have passion about something, to feel something, to observe the world in such a way that maybe what you have to offer is an insight or support for somebody who's needy. And you never know. One of the greatest models I have of religion, good religion, is AA. AA comes in with some principles of operation, but basically, it's saying, I know that I'm not the end all and be all of everything. And in humility, I understand that there are things that I need to deal with. Some of them have to do with healing stuff that's broken, making amends to people I've hurt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it all begins under the shadow of, I believe, and a power greater than myself. Some call it God, some call it something else. Everybody's got their own version. But I believe that there's something bigger than myself. I'm not the emperor of the universe. Because what I think is what I think, and therefore everybody else should think that, is not the way to live life. The way to live life is to respect the fact that we are all in this together. I love these programs of late, with deGrasse Tyson, you know, doing these wonderful things about the expanding universe. And just the other day, they're talking about, I think it was in New York Times magazine this week. There's a whole thing about what if, you know, we send out this message to the universe. And right now, there's one that's been floating out there over 320 trillion miles away, and it's still going. What happens if there's an answer? What do we do? First thing that the author suggests is we probably want to kill it because it wants to kill us. Or it's coming here because they're hungry. But what does that do when you see that we are less than a speck, less than a, not even visible in the whole universe. And we sit around here and talk about God like we know who God is and we got God's version right and you don't. Or if you believe in God, you're nuts. It's all about being human. There are many, many ways to discover who we are. There are many, many ways for us to come together as a community. There are many ways that we in this small group can affect a movement of life-giving that will spread to other people, only because that's, I think, and I believe, what people are looking for. In the extreme model, what I'm talking about would be completely redoing the sanctuary, rip out everything, and put a little table in the middle and serve coffee or tea or whatever while we sit around in a circle and talk about what went on this week and how I experienced something outside of myself that changed the way I think. Instead of, you're all lined up, now looking at the backs of people's heads. If the place were full, you'd see the backs of people's heads. And I'm blah, 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 blah. And we get all through with it, and we go out and have coffee, and it's like, eh, what does that do? Wouldn't it be more effective and more wonderfully life-giving if each one of us was able to be the person that we are and sit side by side with all the other people who want to be the persons that they are and discover something brand new, fresh, that isn't printed, that doesn't come from a book, that comes from the heart and soul of living and breathing people. I'm not talking about therapy. I'm talking about living together as brothers and sisters on this very small planet, in this very small town, in this very minuscule church. So what I'm suggesting is I'd like you to, this is not a mandate, but it's a suggestion. I listen to some of you talk about family members who don't come to church anymore. And we know that certainly this church used to be packed, and I can meet 1,000 people out there who have been through these walls at some point in their lives and choose for some reason not to be here anymore. And some were hurt, and I know I've talked to some who were really turned off, and all of that's very, very real. In talking about things on Sundays, one of the big arguments always was, well, you know, young people don't come to church anymore because there's a lot of sports on Sunday. And I used to believe that. The truth is, sports on Sunday involve roughly, this is a rough measure, a quarter of the kids who go to high school. Where are the other three quarters? What are they doing? It's important for us to begin to listen to the world around us speaking, because, you know, we talk about God is still speaking. God is not necessarily speaking through me. God speaks in our everyday lives through the people we meet in the store, the people we encounter, wherever we happen to be, who make a comment, who have a suggestion, who open up about some of the things going on in their lives. Listen to the message that comes to you. Listen to what people really are looking for, maybe in your own homes, in your own families. Let us not dismiss those things, but let us begin to recognize that God still speaking happens every day in every one of our lives. And that's not to try to fix everything. That's to begin to understand and open us up to really what the Spirit of God is about. The Spirit of God blows out all the walls of theology of every denomination, of every religion, of every theological discussion that ever took place on this earth. It's bigger than that. The Spirit of God is burning inside of each one of us with a passion that we somehow can make a difference in the lives that we touch. not just by doing good things, not just by being kind, but by listening and responding. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the Great One who sent me. We are sent, and we are called. Amen.